For every season, there's an instruction. Mm. For every season, there's a wisdom. And so anytime I write, that's my thought process behind it. And it can't be a sermon. Mm-hmm. You know, a book is not a sermon.
Yeah.
But this in particular was my response to seeing the world experience a lot of uncertainty, a lot of cray-cray, a lot of things that we are seeing now on a daily basis are just stuff that we used to see every once in a while. Crazy used to be seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
Now crazy is daily.
Everywhere.
And it's affecting us more than we think. We weren't created to live in this much chaos. And so for me, it was about what message does the world need for such a time as now? And for me, it was knowing, because in the midst of the uncertainty that the world is experiencing, I realized that I was moving through life differently than the average person. And so what did God give to me that was, or what did he reveal that I had that grounded me in such a way that I can move through life and still progress and win that the average person doesn't know?
Mm.
And for me, it was knowing. It was a cultivation of a gift that God has given to all of us, and I knew I had to write about it, and I'm excited about what's in that journey.
When it comes to knowing, did it stretch you differently than those previous books?
Yeah, I feel like knowing is the amalgamation of everything that I've written. So the first book was called Purpose Awakening. It was about being awakened to your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Second book was called Wholeness, mm-hmm. because just because you're awakened to your purpose doesn't mean you're going to win, because if you're broken, then your brokenness will sabotage your purpose.
Absolutely.
So purpose, wholeness. And then when you get whole, stuff starts working, and now you got to figure out how to balance it all.
Right.
So the third book was called Balance. But knowing honestly is a book that if I never wrote another book in my life, what's in this book, I would literally be satisfied. Like, yeah, the Bible talks about a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's mm-hmm. children. For me, yes, I'm going to leave all the things, God willing, you know, real estate and investments and portfolios and everything. But the greatest investment I think we can give our children is their path to God, to purpose and relationship with God. So if I didn't write anything else, this is what I have learned over the years about the voice of God, about how God moves and flows. And I just literally, if that was the last book I ever wrote, that would be the one.
I remember reading it and I thought it was so profound. But in that, you also wrote that in this book, your divine intelligence
yeah.
is something that we are born with,
yes.
not something that we learn.
Yeah.
And it's something that we remember. Can you break that down and kind of unpack that for us?
Absolutely. So everyone talks about, I mean, I think that knowing, I know that knowing, you see what I did there? I know that knowing. Is different from intuition.
Yeah.
I believe in all that kind of stuff. But even when I talk about intuition or spiritual insight, they call it your sixth sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's really your first sense, because we were created, the human was designed in the context of knowing, in our relationship with God. God is all-knowing.
Mm-hmm.
God was communicating with us. We were in communion with the all-knowing one. And so we didn't have to wonder. We knew, because truth was our portion. Truth was our diet.
Mm-hmm.
Truth was our appetite.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was our first sense. And then the enemy comes. And people think that it was about the fruit. It wasn't about the fruit. The enemy said, did God really say? So what was he attacking? He was attacking their knowing, because he knew that if he could break their knowing and get them to just start wondering, ultimately they would start wandering. And that's exactly what happened. They were in position to be fruitful and to multiply. They had everything that they needed. They didn't need, you know, they were set. But the enemy attacked that knowing that they were started with, that they were framed with. That's what he was after, and got them to doubt. And so they went from the sequence will always be knowing, wondering, and wandering. And so the book is about getting back to that first sense. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, to ultimately give us the Holy Spirit so that according to scripture, we can get back to freely knowing what God makes available to us. So you have to recognize that you're in a war. It's interesting, you know, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 10, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's much unpacked. But he is basically saying that we're in a war and we're in a war over control over our thinking. That's literally the battle. And so how do I war against your mind? It's by bringing you information. It's by bringing you thoughts. And so I have to learn to practice stillness so that I can get clear to recognize what thought is me, what thought is of the enemy, what thought is the Lord, because the one who controls our thoughts controls our decisions, and our decisions determine our destiny.
Absolutely. It's funny because my mom used to have saying that these people making these smartphones, but these smartphones making you dumber.
Ooh, mom got wisdom. What did thing go?
For sure.
Yeah, that is.
She has so much wisdom, but it's so true because it's like this influx of technology is making it to where we don't have to use our brains anymore.
It's crazy.
Kids in school can just easily, readily at their fingertips, not have to write.
Yeah.
We could chat GPT.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, on Hardly Initiated, we talk a lot about leveling up financially, mentally, and spiritually, but there is a reality that we have to face. Financial stress can affect us way more than we realize. It's not just about what's in your bank account. It's about the toll that money worries can take on your mental health and your relationship. In fact, at the start of 2026, roughly 88% of Americans reported feeling some form of financial stress. It brings on anxiety, it disrupts your sleep, and for many couples, is one of the leading sources of conflict. I've realized that struggling with money or feeling overwhelmed by it doesn't mean that you failed. Sometimes it's about the beliefs we grew up with or just trying to figure it all out on our own. It's something important to remember that therapy isn't for financial advice. It's for managing stress, shame, or anxiety that comes with those financial hurdles. It helps you unpack your relationship with money and build healthier coping strategies so you don't feel alone in the process. What I appreciate about BetterHelp is that they make the process of finding support simple. They have over 30,000 therapists who are fully licensed in the United States and follow a strict code of conduct. When you sign up, you'll fill out a short questionnaire, and their therapist match commitment means that they do the work to find the right fit for your specific needs and goals. They've served over 6 million people globally, and if you ever feel like your match isn't quite right, you can switch to a different therapist at any time. When life feels overwhelming, therapy can help. Sign up now and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com/HardlyInitiated. That's BetterHelp.com/HardlyInitiated.
Your whole essay.
It's scary.
Absolutely scary.
It's scary. There's a chapter in the book called Divine Intelligence. Mm-hmm. And I start that chapter off by contrasting divine intelligence with artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. And artificial intelligence is wonderful. You're not using artificial intelligence in some way, you're behind. You're losing money, you're losing time, you're losing sleep,
absolutely,
you're frustrated. You know, I'm not against it. I believe in using it with measure and understanding. But ain't nothing like divine intelligence. You know, divine intelligence. And again, that's what God gave us, the ability to tap into his mind. And we need that now more than ever, because here's what happens when we are inundated with all this information, and a lot of that information, quite frankly, is not great news. Mm-hmm. And it creates this unpredictability. Well, anyone with just a cursory understanding of how the brain works understands that the brain craves predictability. And when the brain doesn't get predictability or doesn't feel like it can predict an outcome, it goes into really that fight, flight, freeze mode, which means that if we're not managing the intake of our information, our nervous system is getting deregulated. Mm-hmm. And now the gift of the mind that God gave to us now can't even function right because we're in this fight, flight, or freeze. So freeze is, I got decision fatigue. I don't know what to do, so I don't do nothing. You know, fight is cool, but if you fight and you're fearful, then you're going to fight with the wrong tools and make bad decisions, fear-based decisions, right? Mm-hmm. But if we can settle ourselves, if we can tap into what God is saying, that will ground us in such a way where the other part of our brain is activated, the prefrontal cortex, which is where our decision-making happens, where our clear thinking comes from. So this is not just a spiritual thing. This is a neurological issue. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. like to know. So I have to know so that I can regulate myself.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's because that's clarity. Clarity doesn't come in chaos. Clarity comes when you can get still, regulate yourself, hear from God, and make the right decisions so that we can win mm-hmm. in the backdrop of cray cray mm-hmm. when other people are falling off.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's interesting because I know you to be an investor and entrepreneur. I feel like so many people didn't know you guys from the faith-based space, but the businesses behind the scene and correlating in the book that divine intelligence with artificial intelligence is really like a cornerstone of intersecting faith and innovation.
Yes, I believe in horror. So my background, most people don't know this, but my background is technology. So I build data centers and computer rooms. You know, I did it in a corporate capacity. And then I saw that there was a gap between what the company that I worked for offered and what the client needed. And that delta, I don't know where it came from with me, but that delta, well, I think I do know, it was the way I was raised. But the business is the delta. The business happens in the delta and in the opportunity between what currently exists and what the consumer needs. Mm-hmm. And that's where the opportunity is. So even for me, like pastoring, like if you'd have come to me 25 years ago and said you'd be pastor, I'd be like, no, I'm not. What are you talking about? Like, but even like to plant a church, I'll just tell you the short story real quick. I got touched. So I was prospering in 2000. I was prospering in all the ways that I just described. But inwardly, I was withering and I knew it. And I did meet God when I was 9 years old. But I just believed that if I confessed the Lord Jesus, I would make it to heaven. And if I got in trouble, he would bail me out. That was the extent of my relationship. Didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Didn't know how to overcome my flesh. None of that kind of stuff. 2000, I'm prospering in every way except inwardly. And I knew, I felt, I had a knowing that if I didn't yield to God, if I didn't seek the God of my youth and I didn't yield to him, then everything that missed me, everything that should have happened to me because of me walking in my flesh was going to happen to me. I knew it. And there was a conviction. And I said yes to walking with God, filled with the Holy Spirit, just me and God. Nobody laid hands. It was just me and the Lord. And I was able to articulate the truth, the truths of God. And I started with my friends and they started getting saved, just like my friends from work, like my business guys and everything. They started getting saved. And so I recognized that I had a gift. But remember, I'm a business guy. So I'm like, I'm doing this one-on-one thing. And that's great. It's effective. But how do I scale impact? And so for me, planting the church was to scale the impact of the gift that was on my life, because that's all I knew. So literally me planting was my business mind, you know? And so that's what I did. I didn't have no theological degree or nothing like that. I'm like, I got to multiply this grace that's on my life. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, obviously we're blessed to have multiple enterprises. I love business. I believe that business is, can be in many ways, more impactful to the world and to nations than, you know, your church. I mean, I don't mean that I love the church. I'm a pastor, you know, I oversee churches, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But business can go places that pastors can't go, and it can do things that church can't do. And so I, you know, I struggled for a minute with believing that God can use business. But the more I read the Bible and the more I understood God and what he talks about, I realized that business would be a real significant resource in advancing the kingdom of God.
Absolutely. Listen, even that planting is important.